So we've been covering counseling because the best thing you and I can do is to be helpful to other people, to give them the right guidance. So this has been our subject. We are studying Christian counseling. What makes it different? And today we're going to talk about dealing with the real roots, because if you only deal with symptoms, I'm not going to make much headway. In fact, it's kind of strange because there's a big contrast between Christian counseling and the diverse forms of humanistic counseling. We got, of course, Sigmund Freud, who thought that the desire for pleasure was the driving force, and then Alfred Adler, the desire for power, and then Maslow. And this is really interesting, the desire to meet basic human needs, Abraham Maslow. Carl Jung, the desire for connection, he kind of a mystical thing that we're connected to the whole world. B.F. Skinner comes along with the power of conditioned behavioralism. And then, of course, William Glasser's kind of worth a read, The Power of Choice. And a contemporary of Viktor Frank is a great book. You should probably take a look at it, at least, The Desire for Meaning. But what we want to do today is we want to talk about the difference between Christian versus humanistic counseling. Now, got to get it straight. Freud, all those guys we've talked about, they are counseling with a no God concept. And Christian counseling begins right here with the existence of God. That's what makes it so uniquely different from humanistic. See, humanistic is man's idea, and Christian counseling is God's idea. Don't you find it pretty amazing that people would compare the thinking of the created with the thinking of the creator? And that they would even think that the created are smarter, can you imagine that, than the creator? So it begins with the fact that it is God that created in the beginning. He, in fact, another scripture, John 1:1, which is kind of an overlay of Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God, in the beginning was the Word of God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now watch this. The same was in the beginning with God. It's talking here, of course, about Jesus, who was there. He is God become the Son. Okay. And look at this. All things were made by him. Got it? Everything was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Whoa. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we begin with God, the creator, because it's really hard to outdo the outperform the original designer, God. God. Imagine man competing with God. So Christian counseling begins with the existence of God, but it progresses from there to being accountable to God, not just as God smart, not only is he the creator, but we're accountable to him. In fact, he is so relevant. Look at the scripture from Psalm 100, one of my favorites. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Look at this. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. My goodness. In fact, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, eventually every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, now don't miss this, shall give an account of himself to God. Christian counseling begins with the existence of God and then has to do with accountability to God for everything we say and do. Everything. Even the scriptures, even our idle words, we're going to give an account to God. So remember this now, because we're talking about Christian counseling versus humanistic counseling. One begins with God, progress us to the idea that we're accountable to God. And now I want you to catch this one, because it is moral accountability, or the lack of it, that is the primary issue that causes failures at every level. That's why the scripture says nobody's doing what's right. Not a single person. There's none that even understands. There's none that seeketh after God. That's humanistic counseling. They're gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And look at this. And the way of peace they have not known. I mean, it's amazing today, isn't it? Isn't it amazing the numbers of counseling sessions that are available and the counselors that are available? How many hours on the couch, and yet self-destructive behaviors are blossom is the wrong word. They are skyrocketing out of proportion. And they think because without God, they think they've got a cure. They will even try to solve spiritual problems with chemical cures. Here's the problem. The humanistic counselor, watch this, does not know the way of peace. And that's a really important thing. Peace, tranquility, calmness, self-control. The way of peace have they not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. They don't even take God into consideration. And consequently, the contrast between Christian counseling and humanistic counseling is vast, vast. So where does it go from here? That becomes the question. Because when a person rejects God, they reject virtually everything that God stands for or represents. They're not just rejecting God, they're rejecting his philosophy. They're rejecting his principles. They're rejecting his rules and laws. Watch this now. So in this rejection, mankind has not only rejected God, but has rejected the moral absolutes that are set in place. Nature knows them. God knows them. God determined them. And watch this now. He defines it. Because this is what's happening today. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Can you imagine? It's skyrocketing today, because evil cannot tolerate virtue side by side, because virtue makes evil look evil, which it really is. So evil wants to get rid of good and virtue. So what's going on today in our culture and vast parts of the world is, if you stand for something that's good, they're going to call you evil. There's something wrong with you. They'll cancel you. They'll get rid of you. They'll put you down. Now, this should not surprise us, really, should it? Those of you who really know God and know the scriptures. Do you remember? It says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then it gives a long list. Men shall be, number one, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Narcissism, top of the list. So in the last days, perilous times shall come, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. There it is. The number one issue, narcissism. The Bible word for it is called iniquity. But look at the last days, lovers of their own selves. I mean, it's me first. And so every decision is contaminated by that rule or philosophy of life. And so it goes on. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Proud. disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at this one. Without natural affections. And it keeps going. And it comes to this one. Despisers of those that are good. So no longer is virtue applauded and allotted. It's put down. Why? And they're in big trouble because they call evil good and they call good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, and they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And now imagine you're going to a counselor who does not even know the difference between good and evil. Oh my goodness. Look at this. How does a person get in this condition? Here's the answer. Woe unto them, next verse, that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. They think they're smarter than God. And so humanistic counseling is basically not only a rejection of God, but a rejection of all the moral absolutes. What a contamination. Human ailments, troubles, are the result of God rejection. The symptoms we take to the psychologist, and he'll attempt to deal with the symptoms without getting to the root. But we're going to get to the roots here in a moment. But all ailments are the result of God rejection. So here's a definition of ailments. An ailment is a disorder, a sickness or an affliction, infirmity, trouble, suffering, agony, discomfort, torment. And so we get all kinds of trouble going on in our lives. The Christian counselor knows the reason this is there is because there's a root issue. It's not the problem itself. That's only the symptom. Okay? So watch this now. When we reject God, there are, and his moral laws, there are consequences. In fact, look at the scripture. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, you don't want to miss it. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Ailments are the result of reaping what has been sown. There is a cause behind every effect. And that's precisely what the Christian counselor understands. And he knows that in rejecting God and the ways of God, all kinds of trouble are going to surface. And don't make fun of God over this, because we are simply reaping at the symptom level stuff that's in the root. So the scripture goes on to say that he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Kind of really important. But human ailments are the result of God rejection. Why is that? It's interesting this, because the soul that sinneth, the scripture says, it shall die. Yeah. The soul, that's the mind and the emotion that goes the wrong way, is going to get damaged. Look at this, a well-known scripture. The wages of sin is death. And by the way, the wages of sin have never changed. They're still the same today. But watch, I want you to catch something interesting from these two verses. When it talks about death and dying, we tend to think that that's like the absolute when it's all over, the lights go out. However, the word actually is either literal death or figurative. So, for example, if someone, I mean, watch this, because, I mean, some people kill themselves one puff after another puff, one shot after another shot, one drink after another drink. It's kind of like death on installment plan. And there may not be the sudden finality, the heart stops and they're dead forever kind of thing. But instead, it's this incremental dying destruction to the soul. Every time we do wrong, we damage ourselves internally. And then we don't know what to do with it because the humanistic counselor has no idea. He doesn't even acknowledge the fact that there is such a thing as sin. Kind of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? So why do people do this? That's the question. Why do we reject God? Like, I think he's so wonderful, I can't understand why anybody would reject God. The answer to that question is because they are in favor of something that God is against. Or they're against something God is in favor of. And why would they be like that? When God is so wise and so loving, by the way, why would people reject him? Because they've got an agenda of their own that conflicts with God. And what do we call that? It's a self-idolatry. It's positioning ourselves in the God spot. I'll decide what's right and wrong, good for me or not. The Bible word is called iniquity, which is the biblical word for narcissism, right? And look at this now. So David had committed adultery. Yeah, it was a sin. So he comes in this 50, in scriptures, by the way, in several places, and he acknowledges my sin. But watch this. He also said, and my narcissism have I not hid. The reason I committed adultery because I was pleasing myself. That's the problem. So I didn't hide it. I said, I will confess. Now watch the two things. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And watch this. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. What is that? The motive behind my sin was my own selfish rulership, narcissism. And so, big trouble. Oh, let's go back and look at that scripture again. I don't want you to miss this. The iniquity, the narcissism that causes my sin. What is it? It's the rejection of God in favor of our usurping God's rightful place in our lives and playing God. That's what iniquity is. And that's what narcissism is. And that's what self-idolatry is. And so, hence the consequences. The rejection is caused by selfishness. David went on other places. Look at this. I will declare mine iniquity. Look at this. I will be sorry for my sin. Two separate things. By the way, which in Isaiah 53:6, God dealt with both our transgressions and our iniquities, but nobody hardly even knows what iniquity is anymore. And I wish now I'd put up a little commercial here because I have a book called How Do You See Yourself, which deals with the 367 verses in the Bible on the subject of iniquity, the Bible word for narcissism. My iniquity. My sin. Two issues. What's behind it is our iniquity. So David acknowledges these two things. Sin, which is transgression, breaking the rules. And the motive, which is narcissism. And this is what he says. Wash me thoroughly from, look at this, two things. Mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Both things. One is transgression. The other is the setting up of self in competition with God. Let's take another verse. We can't stop this. This is too important. Woe to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. What's behind their iniquity? Vanity. And their sin. As if it were a cart rope. So what is it? Vanity, conceit, self-love, narcissism, human, all of which is pointless activity, a human activity, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's what's behind the whole deal. And that's why we have a problem. Now, I can't get away from it quite yet. because this is the big deal. Look at the scripture. His own iniquities, his narcissism, shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held in accords with his own sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Now, what scripture says, behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he can't hear, but our iniquities have separated between us and God. His sins hid our face from you that he can't hear. This rejection of God in favor of setting ourselves up as God and deciding as if we were God what's right and wrong is why people reject God. They want to go. And hence, I referred to the scripture. Let's look at it. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now watch this. Here's the problem. We have turned everyone to his own way. All right? That's the problem. That's iniquity. That's narcissism. Doing our own thing. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Now let me get rid of my underlines and show you. The iniquity. What is the iniquity? It's right here. Going one's own way. Forsaking God and going our own way. Now, here's the good news. The loving God has provided a great redemption. I mean, he wants to change things. He doesn't desert us. One of the amazing things to me about God is he loves sinners. And even though we're selfish, he still loves us. Let's go back to that same verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, narcissist. But the Lord wanted to do something, and he took the consequences of our iniquity on himself. Our own way, the iniquity of us all. Oh my goodness. And this is what he says. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. So this is indeed the great news. In Christian counseling, as opposed to humanistic counseling, that includes the God factor, the rejection of God, because we want to do our own thing, but God has provided a redemption. In fact, let's go back to another verse about this. God raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. What is the biggest blessing that could ever happen in your life? Here it is. In turning away every one of you from his narcissism, from his iniquity, take a look at it. Bless you in turning away every one of us, getting rid of this condition. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. God has made a recovery program, not just for our transgressions, which cause all kinds of trouble, but for the source of the problem, which is our narcissism. So let's take a look now that this is how we must act. If God has made this provision, then here's the deal. Each one of us must respond to God's grace. So he's made this provision. He's made this provision. But we have to respond to it. Why? So they can return every man from his evil way, so that he can forgive their iniquity and their sin. Get rid of this. But it comes, now this is what the Christian counselor has to do. Call for a change of response to God. Now this grace of God salvages from all human ills, all of it. He says, I will make a covenant with them in those days, and I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now we're really getting down to the important stuff right now. The grace of God, this is what the Christian counselor is going to do. He's going to bring a person into contact with the loving grace of God. And that grace is going to do something at the root level that's going to solve all the problems all the way up the line to the symptoms. Now look at the scripture with me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, salvaging, hath appeared unto all men. Now watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now watch this. I want you to catch the grace of God teaches us. This is indeed amazing. The scripture goes on, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. But it doesn't just redeem us from it. He's going to purify unto himself a peculiar people who want to do what's right from now on. What a great salvation. Look at the screen again. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. And why? To purify unto himself a special people who want to do good all the time, every time. Christian counseling is teaching others how to respond to God's grace. Now, we're getting to the root of the matter. Here it is. If we do not respond to God, we go our own way, we reap consequences that are not nice. So, make sure you understand this conclusion. The root cause of all human ills is failing to respond to God's grace. So here's the scripture. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Whoa. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to God's grace, which he gives, because if he does, consequences. So let's take a look. Here's my diagram. We have surface problems. They are the symptoms we identify. Then there are surface causes, which are basically attitudes. And then there are root problems, which is our character, what we really are. And then there's one single root cause that causes everything to go either the right way or the wrong way. And it is our response to God's grace. Now, watch the diagram with me really closely. Failure to respond to God's grace. And what is God's grace? It is the knowledge and power to do what is right all the time, in every situation. Watch now. You're about to grasp the essence of Christian counseling versus humanistic counseling. At the root level, are we going to respond to God or not? No matter what the circumstances you face, how you respond to it is the determining factor. We respond to it out of our narcissism, which is not responding to the grace of God, or we respond to it out of the grace of God. In our diagram right now, though, watch here, because here's what the scripture says. Looking diligently, lest any of you fail the grace of God, because if he does, watch this now, there can very easily spring up within him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad for itself, but it's contagious. It spreads to everybody else. Lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and many get defiled. So watch. If we down at this level fail to respond properly to God's grace, which is the knowledge and power to do what's right, guess what happens? Bitterness. A bitter spirit springs up. Ooh. Now, just so you know that this is not just some isolated scripture, there is a portion of scripture that says this: for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. And that is what bitterness is. You can't treat me this way, I'm going to. And we respond in bitterness. Somebody says something nasty to you, how are you going to respond? If you respond to God, who gives you the knowledge and power at that precise moment on how to treat this guy who's so obnoxious. If we don't respond to that power and knowledge that God gives us when we do it our narcissistic way, we get bitterness. Now, let's show you the second one. Any root of bitterness spring up? Watch this. Lest there be any fornicator. Porneo, the word. Watch this now. So if we fail to respond to the grace of God, we can get bitterness, or we can get pornographic, which is called the lust of the flesh. So we become sensual. Ah, disgusting. Can't help it, because when we face temptation, instead of responding to what God's idea of responding to that is, we go our own way. And instead of responding to God's grace, we enter into fornication. Then it goes on to talk about Esau, who sold everything for his birthright. He was so greedy, like Esau, ready to sell his birthright to satisfy a momentary hunger to his body. Look at this. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy short-term appetite. So what is that? So here we go. Greed. And that's called the lust of the eyes. These are the three root issues if we fail to respond to the root cause, which is God's grace. Now, I'm not going to leave you there. The next time that we get together, I'm going to show you the rest of the diagram, how it feeds up to a real bad story. But I want to give you of some really good news, that if we respond to the grace of God, everything shows up different. Instead of problems, we get solutions. Instead of pain, we get satisfaction and joy. And I'm going to show you that the next time we get together. And it comes from the grace of God. So the next time we get together, our subject is going to be, what happens if instead of rejecting the grace of God and ending up with bitterness, immorality, and greed, what happens if we do respond to the grace of God? Why is that? Because the grace of God that saves us from all the junk in life has appeared unto all men. It's always there for you all the time. Teaching you. Don't do that way. Don't do the world way. Instead, do what's right. And as we respond to God's grace, we will learn how to change the root system. Because if the root is rotten, the fruit's going to be pretty bad. God wants good fruit, but it has to come from good roots. So next time we're together, I'm going to talk about the real good root system you can have by responding to the grace of God instead of the narcissistic pattern, which brings all kinds of self-abuse and self-destruction and pain immeasurably. And the humanistic counselor is trying to deal with all this self-destructive behavior without dealing with the root issue. Because then you won't need chemicals. Don't have to go on a chemical vacation. You'll be able to conquer in life. Strong, vigilant. And that comes from responding to the grace of God. And next time we're together, going to show you what happens when we respond to God's grace instead of rejecting it.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.